This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, back this Tuesday with another 60 minutes or so of old-time radio. We'll hear first this time from The Avenger, episode from January 16th, 1946, titled The Wingate Heirs. Then it's Believe It or Not with Destined for Disaster. We'll finish off this week with The Zero Hour and Once a Thief, their episode from June 5th, 1974.
The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected two inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. The telepathic indicator, by which he is able to pick up thought flashes, and the secret diffusion capsule, which puts him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, The Avenger and the Wingate Heirs.
Now listen here, Royce. I may be old, but I'm not exactly blind. It's time some drastic steps were taken around here.
Take it easy, Captain Wingate. You mustn't allow yourself to get so excited.
Keep quiet, Royce. I brought you down here to read the Riot Act. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm not taken in by your sanctimonious airs and pretended concern for me. You've been my lawyer for 30 years, but I discovered you'd never been my friend.
Now, really, Captain, that's unfair.
You're like all the others, Royce. Just waiting for me to die.
Captain Wingate...
Don't bother trying to deny it. I know you've been using my holdings to put through deals I never authorized. That's as good as stealing, Royce. And by the great horn spoon, I'm going to make you pay for it.
Captain Wingate, listen.
You listen. I want you to bring my will over here in the morning. I'm cutting you out of it, along with those four good-for-nothing nephews of mine. I'll leave every penny to the Seaman's Charity.
Captain Wingate, as your will stands, it's very eccentric insofar as your nephews are concerned. You're making them sweat for every dollar as it is. Now, why not?
Do as I tell you, Royce. Have that will here first thing in the morning. I'm going to send all you vultures packing. Piper! Piper, where the places are you?
I'm telling Captain, don't get your wind up.
You drive that scoundrel Royce back into town, Piper?
Aye, that I did, Captain. Say, what's ailing that lawyer? I never saw him in such a sour temper.
Well, maybe you won't be so chippy yourself when you hear what I got to say.
Well, you got the storm signals up again, Captain.
How long you been living here at Wingate Manor, Piper?
15 years. Come next month, Captain.
And all that time, I paid you a good salary for doing next to nothing, haven't I?
Well, now, wait a minute.
My sentiment has its limits, Piper. Just because we sailed the seas together when we were young, there's no reason why I should let you cheat me, is it?
Well, what are you getting at, Captain?
This, Piper. You've stripped my orchards of their fruit and sold them. The flowers in my garden went to the florists in town, and you collected. For 15 years, you've sold everything from gas out of my cars to food out of my cupboards.
Well, maybe I have done a few things I shouldn't, but
you had the gall to sit around here waiting for me to die and leave you a fat pension. Well, the wind has changed, Piper. I found you out. And I'm giving you a week's notice to clear out.
Well, Captain, you can't do that. I'm an old man.
You heard me. I'm clearing the decks. You get 1 week. In the meantime, I'll expect some service from you.
I knew you could be mean, but I never thought you...
Your thinking comes too late. Here, deliver these four letters to my nephews in their rooms. I think I should inform my worthy heirs that tomorrow I intend to change my will. Get about it now.
All right. I'll deliver these letters. And I'll tell your nephews that the devil has possessed you.
Yes, the Wingate is. Poor lazy parasites, sitting around waiting for an old man to die. I'll show them. Joe, the engineer who never bills. Tom, the doctor who never had a patient. Ralph and Oliver, the wastrels. Paupers, all of them. Tomorrow I'll cut them off completely. Then I think I'll live to be 100. Yes, to watch them suffer.
Turn left here, Jim. That's Wingate Manor at the top of the hill.
This looks like a magnificent estate, Inspector.
It is, but if these rich old codgers have to jump out of their windows, I wish they wouldn't pick 3 o'clock in the morning to do it.
Well, it shouldn't take very long. Say, there's quite a crowd gathered in front of the house.
Pull up here, Jim.
Okay.
Come on, let's have a look. Step aside, please. Police. There's the body over there, Jim. Better look it over.
Right, Inspector.
Who's taking charge of things here?
I'm Smedley Royce, Captain Wingate's lawyer. I'd be glad to help in any way I can.
Were you here when this happened?
No, I just arrived. Dr. Thomas Wingate, one of Captain Wingate's nephews, called back.
Who discovered the body?
I think he did. Dr. Thomas, I mean.
That's right, Inspector. I'm Tom Wingate. My room faces this side courtyard. I heard the noise and came running, but Uncle was dead before we reached him.
We?
Yes, my three cousins, Joe, Ralph, and Oliver. We all got out here at about the same time.
I see. Where was your uncle when he jumped?
In his study on the third floor, just above here.
Oh, Inspector.
Yes.
Wingate seems to have died instantly.
Okay, Jim. My men will be here in a minute. In the meantime, let's have a look at the study upstairs. Would you mind coming along, Royce?
Not at all. The door is locked.
Does anybody in the house have a key?
Well, no. The captain had the only key, and I suppose that's on the inside.
Shall we break the door in, Inspector?
Yeah, come on, Jim. Let's put our shoulders to it.
All right, ready?
Yeah. That did it.
Just a minute. I'll turn on the light.
Well, Captain Wingate frequently worked late at night. By the looks of his desk, he must have been writing just
Don't
before.
Touch anything on that, Royce.
Oh, I'm sorry. I... Just a little curious.
For the moment,
what?
The case is in the hands of the police.
Of course.
Captain Wingate seems to have been tracing the history of his family.
Yes, that's right. The captain was an ardent student of genealogy.
Well, Royce, would you call the members of your family together? There are a few routine matters to straighten out.
Yes, of course. Right away, Mr. Brandon.
Jim, what are you up to? There's no need to conduct an investigation tonight.
Inspector, have your men check to see if the captain had his keys on him when he jumped. They're not in here.
Okay, Jim.
What was he writing there at the desk?
Oh, some kind of a paper entitled Genealogical Reasons for Four Worthless Nephews.
Sounds morbid.
This stuff proves that the old man was pretty low in his mind. I guess that's why he decided to end it all.
Inspector, I'm almost certain Captain Wingate was murdered.
What?
There are things in this room that just don't add up to suicide.
For instance?
Well, this is a small, uncomfortable room. Nothing but work would keep a man in here until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that checks with what Royce said.
Now look, if Wingate had been sitting there working, he would have the light on, wouldn't he?
Sure.
Well, when we came into this room, it was dark. I turned the light on.
Say, that's right, Jim.
Now, a man about to jump out the window doesn't bother to switch out the light first.
No.
But a person leaving a room by the door turns it out automatically.
All of which adds up to the fact that someone pushed Wingate out of the window.
Offhand, I'd say there's more than an even chance of it, Inspector.
Well, let's go to work, Jim.
Inspector, we'd have a lot to gain by keeping our investigation undercover until after the reading of the will.
Yeah. That will might have a very interesting story to tell.
After the deduction of these personal bequests to the above-mentioned for services rendered, I bequeath the rest of my estate to my four nephews.
Well, that's what we've been waiting for, I should say.
Just a moment, I haven't finished. There's several conditions. Provided each of those nephews stays in my study, alone for 1 week, and using the books available there, traces the history of the Wingate family down to the time of his own birth. If, for any reason whatsoever, the history is not completed, or the person fails to stay within the room for the required week, he forfeits his right to the share of the estate. And the estate will be divided equally among those nephews who succeed in this requirement. If none succeeds, the estate is willed in its entirety to the Seaman's Charity, as indicated above.
Well, Jim, that last quote certainly threw a bombshell into this little gathering.
I think that's exactly what it was meant to do, Fern. Oh, Captain Wingate certainly had it in for those nephews of his.
Mr. Royce, just a moment, please.
Quiet, please. Joseph Wingate has the floor.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a question, Mr. Royce.
Go right ahead.
Would it be possible, provided we four Wingate nephews are in agreement, to divide the estate equally among us without regard to that last eccentric provision?
I'm afraid not, Joseph. I understand your position, but according to the law, this will must be carried out to the letter.
Well, we might as well get started on it then. In what order are we to try for the grand prize, Mr. Royce?
Ralph Wingate first, Oliver Wingate second, you, Joseph Wingate third, and Dr. Thomas Wingate last.
This whole thing is preposterous. You're not going to try for it, Tom?
I mean nothing of the kind, Joe. What about you, Oliver?
Well, I'm on, and so is Ralph.
All right, then. Provisions will be stocked within the room, and no outside communication of any kind will be permitted. The door will be locked from the outside by Captain Wingate's banker.
Well, Ralph, are you ready? Let's see how you can take a week of solitary confinement.
Jim, even though I didn't get in on the ground floor of this case, I know you think old Captain Wingate was murdered.
That's right, Fern. But we'll have to move slowly on this. There are six suspects.
How do you figure that, Jim?
The four nephews, Royce the lawyer, and Piper the servant. Every one of them had something to gain by Captain Wingate's death on that particular night.
Why that particular night?
Because Wingate planned to change his will the following morning and cut every one of them off without a cent.
How did you find that out, Jim?
Wingate had drawn up a rough draft of the changes he intended to make. Those papers were found in his coat pocket after his death.
Which one do we go to work on first?
All of them. We're going to make a tour of the house. That way we should find out a few things about the people who live in Wingate Manor.
Thank you.
back to the Avenger and the Wingate heirs.
Well, that's that. We've worked our way right up here to the attic, Jim, and haven't found a thing. Except that Wingate Manor could stand for some improvement.
Wait a minute, Fern. Did you hear anything in this attic?
Yes. Sounds like water dripping somewhere.
That's what I thought. Let's have a look.
Fern, it's over here on the other side of these trunks.
Oh, it's only a leaking faucet. At one time, they must have intended to finish this attic for living quarters.
No. This faucet has been installed rather recently, and this tin drain into which it drips is almost new.
It probably needs a new washer. Why don't you speak to Piper about it?
No, it's all right. I turned it off.
Come on, then. Let's get back into town. I'm hungry.
Hello?
Jim, I hate to get you up like this again, but Ralph Wingate just jumped out of the window.
Okay, Inspector. Pick me up on your way out there.
Well, Jim, we had a few hours to go over everything. Do you think Ralph Wingate was murdered?
There's nothing to indicate that, Inspector. This has all the earmarks of suicide.
Then that washes up the case. Ralph murdered the old captain. Then his conscience started bothering him while he was locked up here alone.
A possibility, Inspector, but we'll have to prove it.
Well, that might not be so easy to prove.
It's Oliver Wingate's turn to go into the study next. Let everything proceed according to schedule. I'm beginning to get an idea, Inspector.
Jim, this is the third night we've set up this net under that study window. I think Oliver's going to stick it out.
If he does, then we're right back where we started, Jim.
Fern, I still believe Oliver will jump. And when he does, we've got to be on hand to save him.
Can we rehearse everything so there won't be any slips?
All right. Here's the plan. As soon as Oliver jumps, we bundle him off in that car over there, and the inspector's men will rush him to the hospital and keep him under guard. In the meantime, we bring in the net, place that dummy underneath the window, and cover it up. Then we give the alarm.
Within a few minutes after that, some of my men will arrive and bear the dummy away. And to the best knowledge of our suspects, Oliver Wingate is dead.
All very well, but where does all this get us?
It gives us a chance to question Oliver Wingate and find out why he jumped. From there, it should be easy to trace the murderer.
Oh, Jim, look. It's Oliver. He's on the window ledge.
He's going to jump, all right. Get ready, Inspector.
The noise! The noise! I can't stand it! Hey!
This Wingate case certainly seems to have a jinx on it, Jim. Every clue we start to work on goes up in smoke.
Yes, we've had some tough breaks, Fern. If things had worked out as planned, the case would be solved by now.
Well, we had no way of knowing Oliver would crack up completely and not be able to tell us anything.
We did find out one thing. Oliver had his ears stuffed with paper. He was trying to shut out that noise he screamed about as he was falling.
The doctor says he'll probably be all right within a few weeks.
Well, we can't wait for that. In the meantime, it serves our purpose to let everyone here at Wingate Manor believe he's dead.
Who's locked up in the study now, Jim?
Joe, the engineer.
I'm completely baffled. I don't know whom to suspect.
There are still four suspects, Fern. Royce, Dr. Tom, Piper, and Joe. We can't overlook any of them.
This case proves that too many motives are as bad as none at all.
I'm going up to the attic. I want to do a little investigating.
The attic again? What's so interesting up there, Jim?
I'll let you later, Fern. Right now, I want you to go downstairs and keep your eye on Piper and Dr. Tom. They had their heads together in the dining room when we came up here.
Right, Jim.
Will you be having another helping, Dr. Tom?
Oh, thanks, Piper. I'm not hungry.
Oh, that's too bad. You ought to eat, Dr. Tom. At a time like this, a man needs his strength.
Now, things are in a mess, all right. Every time I turn around, I run into Brandon or that police inspector.
Why don't they keep their noses out of things that don't concern them?
Well, I reckon the police have a right to get their wind up over three deaths, Dr. Tom.
Three suicides, Piper.
Were they, Dr. Tom?
Piper, what are you driving at?
Ooh, nothing, nothing.
Come on, come on, out with it.
Well, you got to admit that the old captain died mighty convenient for a lot of people.
You included, don't forget that. Your head was going to roll with the rest of us.
Oh, I'm not accusing anybody, no. I'm just talking.
Well, be careful what you say. Jim Brandon's snooping around the house somewhere. If he should happen to find out that Uncle planned to change his will, he'd arrest all of us on suspicion.
You know, I got a feeling all our troubles will be over.
And what makes you think that?
Well, Mr. Joe ain't a jumping time. He'll last the week out up there in the study.
Well, if Joe can do it, so can I. When my turn comes, I'm not going to oblige Joe by jumping out the window and letting him inherit everything.
Well, I hope you're right. Because if neither you nor Mr. Joe sticks it out, Mr. Royce will have the most to gain.
Hmm?
Aye. He's to be one of the trustees if the estate goes to charity, ain't he?
Yes. Yeah, that Royce is a slick one, all right.
Right. But I'm putting my money on Mr. Joe, though. He's got a stubborn streak in him. Just like the old captain.
Yes, you and Joe always did side together, didn't you? You know, sometimes I wonder... Oh, get into the kitchen, Piper, before I say something I'll be sorry for.
Hearn, where are you?
In here, Jim. Piper and Dr. Tom have been arguing in the dining room, but I couldn't make out what they were saying.
Never mind that now. I've hit on something, Vern. Something I believe may break this case.
Good. What is it?
You'll have to help me test it out.
What do you want me to do?
First, let's synchronize our watches. It's exactly 1:30.
Right.
Now, you go up to the attic and at 1:40, open that faucet up there and start the water dripping.
Okay. But that doesn't sound like a very important assignment.
Believe me, it is, Vern. I'll explain later. Right now, I'm going into that study by way of the window. As the Avenger. What's that noise? Who's there at the window? That's strange. There's no one there. This place must be driving me batty. I better get a hold of myself. I am hearing things. The water, I hear it dripping. That can't be. My mind is playing tricks on me. That's it. That's it, my mind.
The sound of your conscience, Joseph Wingate.
Who's in this room? Who spoke?
The voice of justice, calling you to account, Joe.
No. No, it's all in my mind. There's nobody here.
The Avenger is here, Joe.
The Avenger? Where are you?
I'm here, but you can't see me. You're blinded by the crimes you have committed.
Get out of this room. This is some trick to make me lose my inheritance.
You've already lost that, Joe.
No. No, I haven't. Nothing will drive me out of here.
Then I will stay here with you. The dripping water and I. We will stay here to remind you of your crimes and wait for your confession.
I confess nothing, and I never will.
Listen to the water, Joe. Listen to it.
No. No, let me alone.
Ralph and Oliver listened to that dripping until it drove them mad. They're whispering to you now, Joe. Their voices accuse you. And the old captain calls out from his grave.
No.
Listen, Joe. Listen to what the dripping water says.
No.
Do you hear it? It keeps saying, murder, 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 murder.
No. No, I won't confess. You stay here if you want. Let the dripping water drive you mad. The stakes are high, Avenger. And Joseph Wingate is playing this hand out.
It's 3 o'clock, Joe. Do you remember? It was 3 o'clock when you pushed your uncle from that window.
Let me alone. Let me rest.
There's to be no rest for you, Joe. Not until you confess your crimes.
I can't stand it any longer. Turn that water up. Stop it. Stop it.
Ralph and Oliver cried out like that, Joe. But there was no one to them.
Stop it.
They stuffed their ears with paper, but they couldn't shut out the sounds.
And so they jumped.
No. No, I won't jump.
Confess that.
I can't stand it. But I'll tell everything. Yes. Yes.
Write it all down, Joe. Write it down. And as soon as you've finished, the sounds will stop. Start writing, Joe.
Desk is where the sound came out, Inspector.
Well, I don't see anything, Jim. The wall looks all right to me.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll tear off the section of this wallpaper and show you what's behind it.
Well, what do you know?
The design on the paper right here was perforated to let the sound out.
Why, Jim, there's a big amplifying horn set there in the wall.
That's right, Vern. This horn was wired to that small dictaphone I showed you under the tin drain of the water faucet in the attic. Mm-hmm. All Joe Wingate had to do was let the water drip.
A few days of listening to that was all a man could stand,
particularly when he thought he was imagining it.
Well, fortunately, Joe couldn't stand it either.
Jim, that's all the evidence we need to convict Joe Wingate of two murders, plus an attempt on the life of Oliver Wingate.
But, Jim, Joe didn't use this device on old Captain Wingate, did he? I thought you said he pushed the captain out the window.
Well, he did. The study door wasn't locked that night as the old captain sat here working. Here's what happened. Joe walked in on him, pushed the captain out the window, picked the old man's key ring up from the desk, turned out the lights automatically as he left the room, locked the door after him, and went back to his room.
Then when Dr. Tom gave the alarm, Joe ran out into the courtyard.
Right. And under the pretext of helping Tom examine his uncle, he dropped the keys into the captain's pocket where we found them.
Jim, what first led you to suspect Joe?
Well, that dripping faucet in the attic intrigued me from the beginning. I kept checking back on it, and every time I turned it off, someone turned it on again. Up until the time Joe went into the study. Then it was turned off tight. That was the tip-off, and I decided to give Joe some of his own treatment.
Well, it certainly worked, Jim. But what about this angle? Joe must have known exactly what was in his uncle's will, otherwise he couldn't have arranged everything like this.
He did, Vern. He admitted that in his confession. He had everything prepared months ago. Then, when the captain decided to change his will, it forced Joe's hand, and he had to kill his uncle.
If anyone ever leaves me any money, I hope it doesn't have any strings attached.
You'd better send out a radio flash to that effect, Inspector. Inform all millionaires that Fern prefers her legacy in small change.
All characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of
The Avenger.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's Believe It or Not. Designing clothes for a fisherman from Nazaré, Portugal can't be too much of a problem as far as pockets are concerned. These people only have one pocket, and that one is in their hat. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a ship that was destined for disaster. The schooner George F. Whitney, commanded by Captain Carpenter, was a doomed ship from the time she was built. On her first voyage, she was wrecked on Sugar Island in the Great Lakes. On her second trip, she was shattered at Vermilion, Ohio. her luck continued bad, and on her third voyage, the George F. Whitney vanished during a storm on Lake Michigan with all hands and was never heard from again, believe it or not.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Kim Weisskopf's thumbnail sketch of the light-fingered filcher. Once a thief. Starring Greg Morris. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company. Also by Beechnut Chewing Tobacco, Shenley Industries, Matus Wine, and International Harvester. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
This is Hugh Downs with another car buyer's report from Ford. Car size and fuel economy are important considerations today, but so is the total cost of ownership, which involves purchase price, trade-in value, and operating economy. And Ford feels if you compare mid-size cars, you'll choose Ford Torino. Take some operating economy examples. Torino offers gas-saving steel-belted radial-ply tires standard, runs on regular gas, and has a 26.5-gallon fuel tank that's 20% more capacity than its closest sales competitor. And compare some scheduled maintenance costs. You'll find in the course of 50,000 miles that compared to its closest sales competition, Torino's chassis is scheduled to be lubricated only once to their 8 times. Spark plugs are scheduled to be replaced only half as often. Everyone says compare. Ford says compare not only the cars, but the total cost of owning a car.
The closer you look, the better we look.
It's nice to be the best in anything. The title of best pickpocket in the city belongs to Fingers Duncan. He's known throughout the circuit as a natural. But lately, Fingers has been slipping, losing his grip, as it were. And in his search to uncover the source of his inexplicable slump, he will most surely find he has his hands full. Today's story is entitled, Once a Thief. We open at police headquarters. A matronly woman and a plainclothes police officer are peering through the one-way glass of a lamp.
Well, Mrs. Wilkinson, do you recognize any of these men?
I'm afraid not.
You'll be absolutely sure this is the end of the parade.
I'm sure.
All right.
You bums can go. Where'd you bring us in here for in the first place?
Here. Well, I've done all I can, Mrs. Wilkinson. You've seen every petty thief, every pickpocket in the city. Either your bonds were stolen by someone from out of town or a local amateur.
But, officer, why? Why would somebody steal those bonds when all that cash was right there?
You said yourself it was a fundraising affair. Maybe the thief had a soft heart. My guess is he had a soft head. He'd have a lot of trouble trying to pass those bonds. When he does try, we'll let you know.
Thank you. You've been most kind. Oops.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Hold on, Mrs. Wilkinson.
Hi, Blake.
Hello, Fingers. Mrs. Wilkinson, you better check to see that your purse is undisturbed. This man you just bumped into is Fingers Duncan. He was in the lineup.
This nice young man is a pickpocket?
You're just about the best there ever was.
Correction, I used to be.
Everything seems to be in order.
You wear a watch? Any jewelry?
Nothing missing.
All right, Mrs. Wilkinson, we'll be in touch. What is it, Fingers? I'm not really in the mood to chew the fat.
Blake, I'm depressed.
Yeah, what are you telling me for? They got doctors for that.
Blake, I'm washed up, finished. I'm here to tell you not to pick me up anymore.
Don't tell me you're going straight. After all these years, Fingers, I enjoy rousting you.
Yeah, I like you too, Blake. But like I said, it's all over.
Sounds serious.
That's bad, all right. You see, I had this uncle.
Blake. Yeah, Captain. Gotcha. Be right there.
You see, I had this uncle.
You tell it to a shrink, Fingers. Captain's gonna bite my head off.
Blake!
Hands against the door. Yeah, you're clean.
I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah, tell me in a few days. I'm sure we'll pick you up again by then. Bye.
Blake!
Yes?
Are you Madame Eliza?
Mistress of the occult, oracle of what lies beyond, card reader, astrologer, palmist, and handwriting analyzer. At your service.
Are you some kind of gypsy? I mean, the way you're dressed.
Well, when need be, yes. What can I do for you?
Well, Madame Eliza, I got a problem.
Oh, come. Be seated. My fee is $10 in advance.
You're not a doctor, are you?
That depends.
If you are, I'm leaving.
In that case, I'm not.
See, I don't trust doctors, especially head doctors. Well, my name is Fingers. Fingers Duncan. I'm a pickpocket. Oh, I was.
Oh, I already know that. I see it in your hand.
You do? Well, I've been a pickpocket all my whole life. Since I was 9, anyways. And I had this uncle, you see, or I did until last month. Uncle Rufus.
And Uncle Rufus died last month.
Yeah. And he left me $10,000 in his will.
And your problem is you can't get it.
No, that ain't it. I got it.
And you still got trouble?
Can you help me?
Yes, I believe I can. But first, I must consult the stars.
How long would that take?
Come back tomorrow. I should have an answer by noon.
Okay. I can't tell you how much this means to me.
I have some idea.
See you tomorrow, Madam Eliza.
Farewell!
Hey, who was that grinning idiot that just left? Whatever you told him must have been good.
Gil, you didn't off those bonds today, did you?
No, these things are poison. I must have been out of my mind to lift them from that old broad. Not a soul in town will touch them.
Ah, but I got someone who might.
Yeah, who?
One rich, miserable, grinning idiot.
I said he was a mighty fine man. He taught me a thing or two. A woman can hurt, so you stay on your guard. And beach nuts the tobacco you chew. Them times we go fishing, my daddy and me, he tell me everything you ever knew. You go after big mouth in close to the bank, and beech nuts the tobacco you chew. Around here, beech nuts the word for chewing tobacco. And it's been that way, father and son, for a long, long time. What's the secret? It's the way beech nut just keeps getting better. Like beech nuts a lot moister these days, with more taste and less stems. Big improvements. You ought to try today's beech nut chewing tobacco. And now I'm a daddy with the sons full grown, and I tell him a thing or two. Scared money don't win, evil women drink gin, and beech nuts the tobacco you chew.
Thank you for coming down again, Mrs. Wilkinson.
Did you find my bonds, officer?
Not yet, but with your help, we might very soon. This charity bazaar of yours was open to the public, you said.
Yes, that's right. It cost $5 to get in, and then all of the games.
Games, right. That's what I want to know. What kind of games? Who ran them?
Oh, goodness, I don't know. We had booths over much of the property. There were games of chance, mostly.
Who hired these people?
A booking agent, Mr. Fishman. He was recommended by...
Saul Fishman?
Well, yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Mrs. Wilkinson. You've been most helpful.
Fingers, the heavens smile upon you.
What did the star say, Madam Eliza? Oh, $10 again?
Naturally.
This is getting to be expensive.
There was a meteor shower last night. It came to me then.
What came to you?
The image of your Uncle Rufus. His face appeared in the night sky.
Oh, really?
He was a wealthy man, your uncle, and you, Fingers, were his favorite nephew.
I was?
And even though he disapproved of your larcenous lifestyle, he decided to leave you 10 G's for one purpose and one purpose alone. He felt that if you had money... His money, money earned legitimately in the business world, you would see the light and mend your ways.
Yeah?
Your Uncle Rufus had it all figured out. Except for one thing. What he didn't know was that you are an artist and you love your work.
That's right, I do. I did.
You will work again, Fingers. And soon.
Huh?
By ridding yourself of your uncle's money. By spending it on something hot. Stolen merchandise. Would you do that? You won't have any money, so you'll have to go back to work.
Madam Eliza, I think you got it.
Lucky for you, I happen to have just the thing. Stolen bonds. They're worth 20,000 clams. I'm holding them for a friend who's an artist like yourself. He'll let them go for half the value.
10,000? That's exactly what I got.
Oh, what a coincidence.
How soon can I have the bonds?
Just as soon as you give me the money.
How about this afternoon?
Oh, splendid. I'll be waiting for you.
Madam Eliza, I only got one question.
Yes?
Are you sure this will work? I mean, what if after we make the deal, I still can't get back into the swing of things?
My friend, if by chance you do doubt your ability to steal, and I'm sure you won't, keep these words on the tip of your tongue and say them aloud to remind yourself. I will be a thief. I will be a thief. I will be a thief. Say them.
I will be a thief. I will be a thief. I will be a thief.
This list has all the people who worked Mrs. Wilkinson's fundraiser?
Certainly. Why the hassle?
Somebody stole some bonds from the house. Mrs. Wilkinson would like them back.
Bonds?
$20,000 worth.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I got scruples.
Oh, I hadn't noticed. Fishman, you're an operator. Scratch my back and I'll let you keep operating. If not...
Look, Blake, all but a couple of new acts I can vouch for.
Which couple?
The last two on the list. Guess the number of beans in the jar and the fortune teller.
Madam Eliza?
Yeah, the beans people. They're the lunatics.
What makes you say that?
Numbers. It's one family, 12 of them.
So?
So when I told him this was going to be a charity gig, the old man says the percentage ain't enough. But...
But what?
He showed up anyway. The whole lot of them. Said he'd make his money somehow.
I told you these bonds were poison. Now we're really up a creek.
Well, who figured Fishman to be as crooked as he is?
So now we know. Big deal. Giving him half of what we make is too much. I say we skip town now.
Oh, no. Nothing doing. Fingers will be here any minute with a 10 grand. We get the money, then we skip.
That's too risky.
Look, Gil, it'll take me 5 minutes to close the deal. I'll get the bonds.
Hey, how long do you think it'll be before this chump gets hip to the fact that we're ripping them off?
Gil, this ain't a rip-off. These bonds are worth 20,000. If he's a smart operator, that's what he'll get for them. I swear I put them in this drawer. Hey, what is this? A note?
What's it say?
Dear Madam Eliza, I came back with the money, but you were out. While I was waiting, I started to feel that doubt we were talking about. So I did like you said and started saying over and over, I will be a thief, I will be a thief, I will be a thief. It worked so good, I went right to the drawer and stole your bonds!
Matus is an old-world rosé wine people enjoy everywhere. Like down in the Delta, they know the blues are what you make it, and that the light, easy-to-like taste of Matus rosé makes the meal.
Hey, Matus rosé.
Man, on the West Coast, Matus is out of sight, but you see it everywhere. And in New England, Matus Rosé is perfect for that elegant evening on the town. Matus, the rosé wine that goes with everything good, anywhere, anytime at all.
Hey, 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 Matus Rosé.
Imported by Dreyfus Ashby & Company, New York, New York.
Hello? Madam Eliza? I will be a thief. I will be... Stole your bonds. Sincerely. Yeah, this is Blake. I want arrest warrants issued for a Gilbert Hayes and a Madam Eliza Tabachnik. Descriptions there on my desk. Oh, and pick up Fingers Duncan again. Right, I want to talk to him. There's a what? When did it start? Got it. Get on those other two right away.
makes you think that we will be here at the parade?
Every dip in town is here. Parades are like conventions for them. Fingers is here, I tell you.
Yeah, but where? We'll never find him in this mob.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, where he is?
Well, let's get him.
Not yet.
What do you mean, not yet? He'll get away.
He ain't going anywhere. Can't you see he's making a pinch?
Hey, that was smooth. The dude's got his act together.
And don't forget, he's got our bonds. Look, he's sneaking off into the alley, probably to rifle that wall. Now's the chance. Oh, Fingers, the heavens frown on you today.
Madam Eliza, what a pleasant surprise. Sorry I had to leave when I did.
Is this guy for real?
Oh, Gil, I will handle this.
Look at all these greenbacks, Madam Eliza. I have you to thank for getting me over my mental block.
Oh, I'm so glad I could help you, Fingers. But, aren't you forgetting something? You stole my bonds. Actually, they belong to Mr. Hayes here.
That's right, Twerp. And I'd like them back, now.
I'd give them to you for good.
Well, what's stopping you?
I don't have them.
Well, where are they?
I sold them.
You passed him? Already? How?
He's lying. I tried all over town.
I am many things, Mr. Hayes, but I'm not a liar. I sold those bonds to a friend of mine, a fence, a highly respected man in his trade. He paid me full value.
What? Who is he?
It doesn't matter, but we will take the money.
I'm afraid I don't have that either.
You're a liar.
Mr. Hayes.
Gentlemen, gentlemen.
Hey, let me take it out of his hide.
No. Fingers, what did you do with the money?
Well, I did like you said do, Madam Eliza. I got rid of it. I had to. Otherwise, I couldn't work.
I'll give you a job. How'd you like to be a corpse?
What did you do with the $20,000?
I gave it away.
You what?
I gave it away.
Gil, if you don't, I will.
All right, you turkey. Smile pretty.
Oh. That's enough, Hayes.
Hey, what? Who are you? How do you know my name?
My name's Blake. I'm a cop. You're under arrest. Going somewhere, Madam Eliza?
Oh, officer, you must be confusing me with someone else. I'm here for the parade.
In an alley.
Well, I...
You're both under arrest for bond theft.
Blake!
Claiborne, I'm in here. Take these two to headquarters. I'll be there as soon as I can rouse Fingers. Fingers? Fingers.
Please, don't hurt my hands. Blake, where'd you come from?
Shame on you, Fingers. This isn't your wallet.
That.
Let's you and I return it to its owner, then take a ride downtown. What do you say?
Great. I can't wait.
Do you recall these two working at the bazaar, Mrs. Wilkinson?
Why, yes. This woman was the fortune teller, and he... Yes, now I remember. He was inside the house much of the time. I thought he was a guest.
You're dreaming, lady.
You can't do this to me. I demand to see my lawyer. Blake, why have I been arrested? You gave me a bum steer, Fishman. I think you did it on purpose.
Oh, but I see you got the culprits.
Yeah, and they told me what you told them about taking half.
Hey, that's right, Fishman, you crumb.
It was written in the stars.
Oh, shut up. Claiborne, lock him up.
I want to call my lawyer. I have rights.
Let him call the lawyer, then jail him. Well, that's that, Mrs. Wilkinson. Sorry we couldn't get your bonds back, but we got the next best thing. Fingers? I'll let Fingers tell you about it.
I'm awful sorry, ma'am, about selling those bonds, but I got $20,000 for them.
Tell her what you did with the money.
Well, I gave it away to charity. That and the $10,000 my Uncle Rufus left me in his will.
That's marvelous.
Yeah, and now I'm broke again. I'm back on the circuit. Well, nice meeting you again, ma'am. Guess I'll be leaving.
Fingers?
Yeah?
Mrs. Wilkinson, your necklace.
Where did you... I just had it on.
Get out of here, Fingers. Do that again and I'll throw you in the can.
You know something, Blake?
What?
It's good to be back home.
Here, honey, this is for you.
Oh, George, what a nice surprise. What is it?
It's a tire gauge.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
What's a tire gauge?
Well, you check your tire pressure. Well, it helps you get better mileage.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I got it free from our participating international dealer just for looking at the new international travel all.
A new international travel all?
Yeah.
What's a travel all?
Well, it's something like our old station wagon.
Our old station wagon?
Except the travel all's a foot and a half shorter, so it's much easier for you to park.
Our old station wagon?
Yeah, and it has 20% more room inside, more room for you and the kids, more room for groceries. We'll get lots more use out of it.
Our old station wagon?
And right now, until July 20th, you get 4 Firestone gas-saving steel-belted radial tires on most models at no extra cost.
But where is...
And they're worth $290, suggested retail price.
George, where's the new travel all?
Right outside the window!
Oh, George, it's different.
I know.
I like different.
I know.
All right.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes. Exercise your imagination. And join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Once a Thief is an original radio drama adapted by Kim Weisskopf. Greg Morris was heard as Fingers Duncan. Featured in the cast were Michael Rye, June Foray, Scott Ellsworth, Mary Lansing, and Peter Leeds. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Polis, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman, Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's going to do it for another episode of the Relic Radio Show. I hope you enjoyed what you heard today. You can find past episodes from The Avengers, more from Zero Hour, more old-time radio at relicradio.com. There's also links there to our forum, Facebook page, Shoutcast stream, everything else. Also a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows, help keep them going. You can do so from the website as well. Thank you very much for those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. The Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission, strictly prohibited.